Well, hey, Shoreline, my name is Austin Mankin, and I serve on the Shoreline team, and I wanted to start with a confession. I wanted to be open and honest and just kind of get this off my chest. It's kind of a secret that I need to share with you guys, and so I hope you're ready. Here we go. That I have tricked you guys. I want you to let that sink in. That I have tricked you guys, that I have deceived you, and I have tricked you. Okay, so it happened a couple weeks ago. It was Sunday morning. I got up, got my church clothes on, got ready for the day, kissed my wife goodbye, went to Watermark for Sunday service, you know, went through the parking lot and braved the parking lot, came into the student section right over here, started giving fist bumps to everyone because I didn't want coronavirus, and I started sitting down, and then I started listening to the teaching, and I started taking notes. And then I got up and I started, you know, going through worship. I started singing the songs. And then I bowed my head to pray. And then I got up and started kind of connecting with other friends. But the reason that I tricked you guys, the reason that I say that, because the reality that I tricked you is that I tricked you into thinking that I was actually worshiping. That's what I tricked you into thinking. That the reality is that I didn't get anything out of it. Because if you would have known, like externally, I looked like I had it all together. Like I was going through the motions, I was in the activity of worship, but internally, man, I was distracted, I was disengaged. You know, I had things in my heart that weren't settled, that the busyness of my schedule is distracting me, and I got nothing out of my time there. And so the reason I share that with you is because God's heart for us is that we would connect to Him through worship. When I say worship, I want to understand that I'm not exclusively meaning just Sunday morning. I mean that our very lives are lived out in an attitude of worship. And I think if we're being honest, we've probably been where I was at one time, where we've been through that activity of worship, where we kind of went through the motions, we haven't been fully engaged with what's going on, we've got distractions from different things going on in our life, and it's easy to not engage with what the Lord is doing in our heart. And so I want to share with you guys what the value of worship is and how it can be easy to neglect that and go through the motions. And God addresses this problem in His Word. That He's clear in His Word, and He gives us a picture of what worship should look like in our lives. And so He uses the prophet Isaiah in the book of Isaiah to talk about what a worship should look like. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Isaiah 29:13. That's where we're going to be. Isaiah 29:13, and we're going to see how Isaiah is burdened for his people. He is burdened for his people. He's a prophet. That means he just speaks on behalf of God, and he's burdened. The fact that, hey, these people are believing that their actions are more important than their heart, that they've demonstrated this religious activity, but internally, they're far from God. They're not engaged with what God wants them to do. And so they begin to define their relationship by God by just the religious performance. And so we're going to read in chapter 29, verse 13, and Isaiah is just going to give us a picture of what true worship looks like. Here is what true worship looks like. And he gives us this picture of what it's not and what it shouldn't be. And that these people, that they worship God with their lips, yet they didn't worship God with their lives. And he's calling them out. And this is what he says in Isaiah 29:13. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules, and that human rules they have been taught. And so they started to live this lip service lifestyle to God, where they were religiously excelling, but relationally they were failing, that they were falling short. And so he said, hey, you need to understand what I'm asking for. You need to understand what I'm looking for, not to fall into this robotic behavior where it can easy to be, you know, we know exactly what to do. We know where to open up our Bibles. We know where to turn to. We know, you know, the right songs to sing, and we can almost check out. And he's telling him, don't check out. He's saying, it's easy to act like you have it all together, but my problem with you guys is that your heart is far from me. And I would just say, I think that's a lot of us today, where we can almost just know what to do and kind of go through the motions of worship and perform and just repeat the words on the slides and kind of move on. And I'm asking you guys, man, we need to engage in what worship truly looks like.
that we need to be internally processing what the Lord is doing in our hearts. So it doesn't become this mechanical, almost robotic behavior, but it comes an expression of God's love for us. And so my hope for you guys today is that you would understand what true worship looks like. That true worship is focusing on and responding to God. That we don't just worship God with our lips, as I said, man, we get to worship God out of obedience with our entire lives. And so that means when you go to small group, you're not just going to small group, but you're worshiping God by you're living in Christ-centered community. It means you're not just going to church, but you're living on mission by getting after it and sharing the gospel in your schools and with your friends. That means you're not just singing songs, but you're responding to God in praise and thanksgiving. That means you're not just listening to a sermon, but you're applying it to your daily lives. That's what worship looks like. That's what true worship is. And so my wish, as you guys are taking notes, here's what I want you guys to understand. My wish for you guys is that worship wouldn't be a mindless activity, but a meaningful connection. I'm going to say that again. My wish for you is that worship wouldn't be a mindless activity, but a meaningful connection. And that if you're sitting there and you guys just feel stuck, like you just feel stuck, you might be tired, or you feel like every time you go to church, you're just not getting anything out of it. Every time you go to church, you just kind of just feel bland, and it's not, unique, and it's not stirring your affections for the Lord. I'm asking you guys, here's what you have an opportunity to do. You have to change your view of worship. Like, here's what you have the opportunity to do, to change your view of worship. Because worship becomes meaningless when it doesn't involve our heart. And we can change our heart by not just having this mindless activity where we go through the motions, but we engage our heart. And we say, hey, God, I'm going to slow down and I'm going to connect with you. I'm going to slow down and not just read the words on the screen to worship, but I'm going to respond and I'm going to believe these things that we're getting to declare. And that's what we have an opportunity to do. And so we're going to transition into a form of worship through song. And we're going to sing this song called Build My Life. And if you've been around here before, you've probably heard this song, Build My Life, before, because it's a popular song. And here's what I don't want you to do. Here's what you're going to have a tendency to do. Is just the familiar aspect of the song can almost rob it of its meaning to where we don't really understand what we're saying. We're just repeating words. And I'm asking you to slow down, connect to the song, and have an opportunity to consider the words that you're singing. And so here's what the song says in the first verse. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could save. Jesus, the only one who could save. Like, Jesus is worthy of our worship. Like, the reason that we gather here today and tonight and hear teaching and hear worship and get to gather with community is because Jesus went to the cross. And he gave us an opportunity to worship him, through song, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And we have an opportunity to have a relationship with him and respond to that, the most amazing message that was ever told. And that's what we have an opportunity to do. And then the next verse says, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. And that really stuck out to me because I'm thinking, man, how many times do I think about my breath? Like, how many times do you think about your breath? But the reality is that God, man, he created us, but he sustains us. That every breath we breathe is created and formed and sustained by the God of the universe. And we have an opportunity to respond to that God. We have an opportunity to respond, not just out of obedience out of just mundane behavior, but out of obedience of what he's done for us. Psalm 43:4 says, there I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. The source of all my joy. I love that because that's what our response should be. He's not the source of some of our joy. He's not the source of a little bit of it. He's the source of all our joy. Man, what would our worship look like if it wasn't focused on other things or other distractions, but our worship was focused on the person that gave us all our joy, the source of all our joy? And so here's what I'm going to invite you guys to do. I'm going to invite you guys to stand. I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you stand up right now, And we're going to respond to God in worship. And here's what I want you guys to do. This is a challenge that I want you guys to do. So I want you to lock in and focus. That I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes during this time of worship. And we're going to sing this song, and it's going to get to the bridge where it's going to say, I will build my life on the firm foundation. And it's going to be awkward. You're going to close your eyes, and you're going to get distracted, and things are going to pop into your head, and stresses and cares of this world are easily going to come into your head. I'm asking you to block those out. I want you to imagine that it's just you and God, and you're focusing on, man, how would I respond if it was just me and God? What would my worship look like if it was me and God? If it wasn't just this mindless activity, but it was a meaningful connection with God. And so I want you to close your eyes and not just repeat these words, but believe these words to be true. And if you're struggling, if you don't believe these words to be true, maybe it's an opportunity for you just to sit down and pray. And just pray that these words would be true of your life, that you could sing these with sincerity. But if it is true, if you have believed in the God of the universe who saved you, pulled you out of darkness into light, I'm praying that you guys respond with great joy. And so let's respond in song.